Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan, Dave Raymond, set to join us here. We'll be talking Rangers. Wolchuk has sounds and news of the NFL day coming up in 20 minutes. There's a very interesting Cowboys story that we can talk about. The news is pumping today here as we're in the midst of the dog days. Rangers back in action tomorrow as Dave Raymond joins us now here on your home of the 2023 World Series champions. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful, you know, especially with leading the big leagues and runs scored there over the last seven games. That was fun, even though they weren't piling up the wins. That, you know, it did make me pretty confident about what we're about to see here in these final 65 games, I guess. How confident are you that the Rangers are going to be better here after the break?
Well, I think, like you and a lot of folks, you kind of pick through the rubble every night to see, well, what is it that would make me feel good about where they're headed? And I continue to lean on the fact that the pitching is elite. The defense has been outstanding. And yeah, so for the last week, they scored a lot of runs. You can take it back for a month. In the last basically month of games, they've averaged 5.5 runs per game. Now, prior to that, they were averaging 3.3 runs per game. That is a massive turnaround. And it's, I'd say it's subtle, but what's happened in the last month is that we've seen the offense turn the corner in a good way, but the allocation's still a little lumpy, right? There are days where they'll score 16 runs and 13 runs, but then there are too many of those days where they're only scoring 1-2 or sometimes even being shut out. So I feel like they're there. They're right on the cusp of it. I hope that the break didn't slow any momentum they were starting to feel, because I think in the last week, as you point out, the offensive numbers were better. I just thought the at-bats were better, and there was a much greater tendency for guys to go up there and do those little things that a team needs to improve their chances inning by inning. And that's what gave me the most encouragement. And I was a little bummed when the break came, because I felt like they were just starting to really figure it out as a group and get a little something going. Hopefully they pick up right where they left off, although they do get a pretty stiff challenge here in Detroit when we start tomorrow.
Yeah, that will be tough, man. But I do feel like there are, you know, a number of reasons to believe right now. Now, when does that hope, when would that hope turn into belief for you? Like, after a year and a half of really mediocre or worse baseball, like, how many games do you need? Is it already there? I mean, you mentioned we've been here for a month at 5.5. Do you feel like this is locked in now and it's problem solved?
So I don't know if the problem is solved, but I am encouraged, and I am optimistic, and I go back to the fact that this team is so pitching heavy, and you still have John Gray getting closer and could come back here soon. We'll hope to see Mally back in August, but I feel like this is that time of year where you could have had a nice first half and played really well and be an exciting story in Major League Baseball. But over the long haul, the 162 games does kind of find you. Mm-hmm. And I look at the Yankees and their start. They had a wonderful start. They're still 10 games over 500. But that division got away from them. Toronto got hot in a hurry, and the Yankees ran into some pitching problems. And they were thin on pitching. They sustained a bunch of injuries early in spring training, and a lot of people were ready to write them off because of that. They overcame it for the longest time. But, 162 hits a little different, and it'll get you eventually. And so they're starting to feel that a little bit. And I feel like the Rangers are built more for the 162 and then the postseason run, and that if they can just kind of keep hanging on, maybe the weaknesses in some of the other teams around them begin to be exposed, and we'll see them just sort of steadily climb. Maybe it's 3-4 games over 500 for a month, and then for another month. And next thing you know, you're sitting in a pretty good spot. and that's what they have to do. The fact that they've hung around 500 is kind of remarkable to this point, given what's happened with the offense.
So just 3.5 games back of the wild card here, Dave. So where's your head at of what they could do, maybe what they can't do with the tax as we get closer to the deadline? Do they stay pat? Would you like them to look at a reliever? What are your thoughts as we're a few weeks away now?
Yeah, my concern is the bullpen. And that's where and you did just ask me this, but I was going to say, if somebody were to ask me this, that's what I would say. I would want to do something to help out the back end of the bullpen. The rotation I'm comfortable with, the offense, people talk about maybe we could get a bat or something. Well, where are you going to put a bat? You're going to displace Garcia and Wright or Seager or Semien. I mean, Smith has got to play. You got the two young guys in Langford and Carter. You're not getting Cal Raleigh. So, like, there's really not a lot of room to find that impact bat and to fit them in your lineup. You're hoping for Jock Peterson to come back here soon. So, anyway, my point is, if I'm going to improve this team, I just don't think it's going to be on the offensive side. I just don't think that's where the leverage is. And it could very well be that they move somebody off the offensive side to free up the space and to get that reliever that they need. And I do think they need a reliever. The numbers overall have been really good for the bullpen. If you stack them up team by team, they're top five bullpen. But they're not – they frighten me a little bit. And I look at it this way. They're top leverage guys, right? If you want to take Robert Garcia, Luke Jackson, and Chris Martin – well, they're a combined 2-10. Let me see here. They're a combined 3-15 for their record. Well, that tells me something. I don't know what. But when those three guys are at the back end of your game, you expect that record to be more like 15-3, not 3-15. So I think they still need that really high-end closer-type personality to count on at the end of games. So that's where I would go. That's where I'd try and make a move if I could. There isn't a ton of financial flexibility, but maybe you can create some. Maybe there's some move that can be made where you give up somebody off your current active roster and you're able to find somebody with some closing experience.
Yeah, I don't want to put you in a bad position, Dave, but do you have anybody in mind that you feel like teams would be interested in that the Rangers would also be okay with moving on from?
Well, that's a complicated question, and I don't know. I mean, I think there's interest out there. There would have to be interest. And one of the problems you would face if you're the Rangers is, okay, somebody comes and they express interest and name the guy, right? Name the hitter on this team. Well, you'd feel like they're buying low, and you don't want to sell low,
right?
You want to sell high. And so, if you were to get an offer on Wyatt Langford or Evan Carter, I don't think that would matter so much exactly where their numbers are at the moment, because teams would feel like, well, these are two really young guys with all kinds of potential. We just think the future long-term is really bright for them. The rest of the guys you're talking about, well, you're trying to capture something in the moment, right? If you're if you're looking at Adolis Garcia, or if you're looking, at Jake Berger or whatever, those are people who are looking for somebody to make an impact right now. And if you're in the Rangers position, you're thinking, well, am I selling at the right time if I'm going to move one of those guys or somebody of that ilk? So I don't know. These are really complicated questions and issues for a front office to deal with. And I think the way they would look at it is who, like Evan Carter to me is a guy who you're not letting go. Evan Carter's at bats have made such a big difference for this team in the last month. He changes the lineup when he's in there, not because he hits a ton of tanks or whatever, but because he makes the pitcher work. He slows down whatever little run a pitcher can get on. When we've seen the Rangers stacking up you know, Semien, Seager, Berger, Young in the lineup, man, guys can work through that quickly. Yeah, there's a threat there at all times. But the at-bats, you know, those aren't guys who are, you know, typically going to be working a count and trying to massage a pitcher back into the strike zone. They're looking for something to drive, and they go for it. And it creates a little bit of a lineup weakness at times for them. They need more bats like Evan Carter's. And so, like, to me, Evan's off the table. That's non-negotiable. So Wyatt Langford, that's off the table. You know, you got to have those guys. So who are the free swingers? Do you have a handful of free swingers who can create issues for you? Those are the guys that I think if you're looking to get really creative, that's maybe where you would look. I don't know what that means or how that would play out, but you know, we have an abundance of those kind of hitters. It's the patient, disciplined hitters that are a little in shorter supply that they've got to be really careful about thinking about moving.
Hey, Dave, as a Rangers fan, though, after taking 2 or 3 from the Astros, and you start to tell me that this team's going to stand pat, I'm a little bit baseball sad, you know?
Yeah. So what do you want?
Well, I agree what you're talking about with the relief pitcher. I would like, and I believe in this general manager. I really do. I don't think he wants to stand pat, you know?
Right.
So to me, I'm of the point of, like, if I'm Ray Davis, and I know about taxes and money and all that stuff, I get all that. But damn, give this team a chance. They kind of figured out, they got their hitting back. Their pitching has been great all year. Give them a damn chance as an owner, right?
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And I do. And I agree with you. I think just knowing CY as much as I do, he does not want to sell. And I think he still believes in this team. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And so, no, he would want to make a push. But I do think, Brian, I think that's you know, we talk about going for it or standing pat. I mean, I'm not sure outside of really attacking the back end of the bullpen. I just don't know how much more you really need or want to do. Because realistically, let's say that you're frustrated with the lineup and you want to flip a couple pieces out.
Okay. Well, I'm with you on the relief pitching. The bats, I think, are coming around. That part of it, I love what you talked about with, you know, with the young players and stuff and what they can do. I just feel like, to me now, with Garcia, and then, you know, you've had some. I think this bullpen has been put in so many high leverage games that it's starting to crack a little bit. You know,
agreed.
I think
agreed.
They have not had any easy night. An easy night is going out there and Jacob Latz throwing 3 innings or Dane Dunning going to throw 3 innings and then we're out of there. But this bullpen has had to deal with high leverage, extra inning games every damn night, it seems like.
there is nothing routine about what they have gone through.
Absolutely not. And I understand why they're kind of struggling right now. I get it. Every time they go out there, it's bases loaded and, you know, and one out. And if you're CY, I know he wants to go and try and help this thing. I know he does. But I wish an ownership, and I know it puts you in a terrible spot. I'll say it for you. I wish the owner would just say, go do what you need to do to help this situation in the bullpen.
But that would probably make him a repeat taxpayer for a third year, right? Do you think they for sure won't go into that territory, Dave?
I do. I think they're very committed to staying out of that. And the complication with that is that there are additional penalties beyond the tax.
With the draft pick and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And that's where it gets to be just a little too much to swallow. And so, you know, if it's simply a matter of dollars, I think that they've proven that they'll spend it. I mean, this is a group now that's been up at the top for a handful of years now. They have committed financially to this team winning. The problem is you just can't exceed that threshold 3 straight years. It's the consecutive years that get you. And that third year, they start taking draft picks, and it's a 50% tax. Look, if you went over the threshold $10 million, and then you were taxed 50% of that, Okay, so that's an extra $5 million. I don't want to scoff at $5 million, but I can tell you, in the scheme of what baseball owners are dealing with, the $5 million is not the problem, right? It's the losing of additional player personnel going forward that's crippling, and that's where it gets really, really tricky. And so I just don't see it happening. So again, to make it happen, there's a tiny bit of wiggle room there, but you're gonna have to find some really clever loopholes or ways to move bodies around a little bit to free up ostensibly what would be enough money to make it happen. Right?
Now, Sorry to cut you off there, Dave.
Well, the one thing you can do is you can use your young players as capital, right? So you can have the other team take on the salary if you're willing to give up the prospects, and that's tough to do too.
Yeah. I thought, you know, maybe you could give a prospect with Mally, clear that salary, and then use that money to go address a reliever spot. I guess the other option, do you think John Gray is a viable bullpen candidate?
So I do, and I like that idea. They continue to say that they're stretching him out because they want to bring him back as a potential starter. Well, that's fine, and they can do that, and maybe that works. Maybe ultimately that's the answer. But then you've got an abundance of starters now. So what do you do? Well, you could take Leiter or Rocker perhaps, and put him in a bullpen spot. Or I think you can stretch out Gray with that in mind, but still decide to use him in the bullpen, right? So, yeah, you're prepared for it in case something happens in that rotation. Here's John Gray. But if nothing does happen, maybe you say, all right, well, let's try him at the back end of the pen. I know this much. He's into it. He's into the idea. He's talked about it since spring training, that it's something that he feels like he's equipped to do, that his arm responds quickly and he likes the idea, and I think it frees him up to let that fastball go. And he's got a good fastball. So, and John's a thinker. I think you could even argue that maybe the closer spot would be good for him because a late-in bullpen job would be good for him because you just got to get back the next day and go. Instead of thinking about it and mulling over all the things that could have and should have and would have gone better, just get back out there and throw again. So maybe it fits his personality better. I don't know. But I do think that that's still in the cards. I don't know that they have eliminated that as a possibility. So, maybe.
Well, terrific stuff, Dave. Enjoy these next couple of months, and we'll catch up with you right before the playoff stretch.
Right on. I love it. I love the way you're thinking.
Salute. There he goes, Dave Raymond. Rangers television voice right here in your G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. They're back at it tomorrow against the Detroit Tigers. Okay, when we return, G-Bag Nation, Wolchuk, what's in store?
Do you consider this as one of the biggest what-ifs in NFL history? That's next.
Do you feel like your energy just isn't what it used to be, though? Gavin Dawson here with the solution. It's called Men's Tea Clinic. If you're struggling with low stamina, weight gain, dipping confidence, that's likely low testosterone that's come on board. Check out my friends at Men's Tea Clinic, okay? They've been helping men reclaim their strength and vitality and drive with personalized testosterone therapy for a long time now, and they're ready to help you right now. Just give them a call, 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA. Set an appointment for one of their 5 DFW locations. They're all over now. They make it so easy to get in, get out, get back to being you. Same-day appointments, quick visits, expert care. You know, you don't want to leave this to just, a one-size-fits-all type of operation when it comes to your testosterone. That's a very personal, specific number for you. And Men's Tea Clinic has the customized treatment plans to get you feeling like yourself again. Not only like yourself, I mean the best version of yourself. Younger, more alpha, stronger, sharper, full of energy, whatever it is, Men's Tea Clinic can help you with. It will. I mean, testosterone replacement therapy is an absolute fountain of youth. You know, our Tolas described their therapies as life-changing. So go to MensTeaClinic.com. Very affordable cash options, insurance options, 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA, MEN'STEAClinic.com.